Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, let us turn and read with God's help from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and desire to read verses 9 through 14. Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Ljubav ne želim da se pročita zajednički sa Božom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Luci, 18. glava, početak od 9. broj do 14. Evanđelje po Luci, 18. glava, početak od 9. broj. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, as we assemble ourselves here in thy house in this day, and as we all kneel before thee, Father, we would ask thee that thou wouldst grant us grace to pray, and that we would glorify thy name, Lord, and that thou wouldst be gracious to us and hear our prayer as we would offer it unto thee. Father, first and foremost, we would glorify thee as the only one true God. There is none like unto thee, neither will there ever be. Father, thou art from everlasting to everlasting, and we glorify thy name, and we praise thee for who thou art. Father, we give thee thanks. We give thee thanks that thou hast sent Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, to come here upon this earth, and to be our Savior, to take away our sins, Lord, that we might have life, and that more abundantly through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for the gifts of grace that thou dost give unto us continually. Father, we thank thee for the hope of salvation that we possess within our hearts and within our minds. We thank thee for all that has been done and all that has been accomplished by Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And so, Father, in this day, it is our heart's desire that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, that we would glorify thee, that we would lift up thy name, that we would ponder upon thy truths that are written here in thy word, that as we have read these words of Jesus as he was taught, as he was teaching, Father, of those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Father, we just pray thee that this teaching that Jesus Christ has brought to all mankind, Father, that we would take heed to it, and live thereby, Father, that we might have life. Father, grant us unto us the measure of humility that is needed, Father, that we would, Lord, not trust in ourselves, that we would glorify thee, that we would live in faith toward thee, that knowing that thou canst provide all things, Father, that we would early come to realize that our resources come to an end, Father, but thou art powerful and thou art truth, and there is nothing, Lord, impossible with thee. And so we give thee the praise and the gift of thanks, Lord, from our hearts and from our lips, Father, unto thee. And so, Father, for our congregation here, Father, we would pray for each and every one. Father, bless thou all of us who gather here together, Lord, as we have a desire to worship thee, a desire to serve thee, a desire to be fed by thee, and a desire to be directed by thee, Lord, that we would be good followers of thine, Lord, that we would yield ourselves over unto thee, that we would take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow thee in all our ways. Father, so help thou this, our congregation. Provide thou for each and every need that is gathered here, from the youngest to the oldest, Father. We just would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for our needs as only thou canst do. Father, if we look to ourselves or if we look to other men to supply our needs, Father, we would certainly come up short, Father. But when we collectively look to thee to be fed and nourished by thee, Lord, we know that we will become satisfied and full and content in thee. And so we just pray that thou wilt provide for the needs of each and every one gathered here. For those who are not able to gather here, Father, we just would lift them up in prayer likewise, and that thou wouldst draw nigh unto them, and that thy Spirit, who is not bound by dwelling here in this sanctuary, but can go into the hearts of men everywhere, Lord, who would cry out to thee and look to thee for strength and for comfort. Father, we pray thy Holy Spirit would reach out to those who are not able to be here likewise. Father, there are many things in prayer that we could ask. Lord, we just commit all things unto thee, spoken and unspoken, Father. Lord, that thou wouldst provide for us throughout this day a rich measure of thy Spirit and a rich measure of thy peace, Lord, to each and every one. This we do humbly ask and pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Dear ones, as we have assembled together in the house of the Lord, we have read this portion of Scripture which we can look upon, and we see an example that the Lord gives of two men who are from two completely opposite ends of the spectrum, we would say, of who they are and how they perhaps even grew up and what they did. We have before us a Pharisee. A Pharisee who is one. It's a group that had been established sometime in the intertestamental period, where this group, which wasn't very large, by estimates it was probably around 6,000 or so, who had were of this sect. But this man was completely trained in the way of Phariseeism, which they had taken the oral law and focused upon it, and upon adding their own intellect, humanism, of what it takes to please God. And they were, as Jesus described them, as hypocrites, those who were exacting upon others something that they themselves were not willing to do. And it tells us of another man who was a publican. He was also a Jew. He was a Jew, and he grew up certainly, as many of us did, dear ones, grew up learning in our homes, learning in our Sunday schools. We all have different backgrounds, but most of us here had probably the same upbringing as this publican did. Exposure to truth, exposure to God, and his laws and his commandments. And this publican had chosen a life that was going to be lived for himself. He was going to live a life that that would take in as much as he can for himself. He was hated by the Jews. He was given all of his power by the Romans. And he was a man of great wealth and of great power. But in him, dear ones, there was still something that was calling him. That was calling him to come to the temple and to pray. He hadn't forgotten the teachings that he had been raised with. He had put them aside, and he had gone to live a life that he thought would bring him great pleasure, that he thought would give him a lasting satisfaction, something that he could live for himself. Humanism, again, at its best. The core belief of humanism is that we can find within ourselves something or that which we need. And we don't look to a higher power. We don't look to God. We look for answers within our own selves. And from learning from one another, and from learning and teaching and reading the books and so on, of trying to find that knowledge. Knowledge is not bad. because God gives us knowledge. As a matter of fact, he had given man that which he gave no other creature, an ability to discern, an ability to reflect upon a situation, what is before us, and we can take in quickly. Everything that we do is based upon a decision that is made instantaneously upon perhaps a prior experience or perhaps what we would think is going to be the outcome, and we quickly reason within ourselves and we bring about, based upon our knowledge, we make decisions. And so this man had made decisions that he was going to live for himself, forgetting the woes that were described by Isaiah that God had spoken. And you know, when we read those of those woes in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, we can find things that when we read in there, we probably don't focus on most of them. We can maybe focus on a few, but he pronounces a woe on seven sins in Isaiah. The first of which, it says, "Woe unto them that join from house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ear, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah." We look at that and say, well, what does that mean, to join from house to house? Well, that's capitalism. That's what we live in. And we would say, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. You're going, at the expense of the little man, he's going to go and establish house to house until there's no fields for anyone but himself. It's all about him. In the pursuit of, well, we would say, well, in the pursuit of, that way I can give more, that way, it was for him. And God said, woe, woe unto the capitalist. There's nothing wrong with capitalism, we're going to say. Hard work brings about a reward. God says, woe. Woe unto him. And we read the woe that he brought about upon the man who said, I have plenty. I have barns, but that's not enough. I'm going to bring them down. I'm going to build bigger, greater ones. Field to field, house to house. I'm going to enjoy. And God tells him, God says, you don't know that I will require your soul this night. Whose then is going to be all this field to field and house to house? And this, what I said, woe unto you, whose is that going to be now? Whose will it be? So we don't, but we're going to overlook that kind of, because we're going to think we can handle. We know where our heart is, and we deceive ourselves, and we oftentimes get caught up in this very thing. He says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, they may follow strong drink. We're going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. And it says that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider their operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. This is one of the reasons they went into Babylonian captivity, because of their drinking, because of their alcoholism, that which they were involved in. He says, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth. This is talking about the grave, without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. It is in Isaiah that the Lord had actually quoted, where he said, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, until he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Dear one, sin brings about, it's a smoking flax that will inflame and take us into the grave. It brings about judgment. It brings judgment. We know what alcoholism does. And the judgment of that is upon us. But you know what we do, though? We have become comfortable feelings with our abilities to handle alcohol that we like to actually take pictures with it, show it off to the internet, show it off on our Instagram accounts and our Facebooks and how refined we are. In that which God says, woe unto you. It's bringing judgment. The smoking flax I will not quench. There's going to be judgment upon you. We're going to tame it down a little bit. We're not going to go to those extremes. But God took this nation into captivity for one of the reasons was because of their drinking. And we oftentimes can make light of those things, whether it's in our private lives or in our public lives. We shamelessly take what God pronounces woes on and flaunt. I'm not talking about a social drink here or there. I'm talking about, look how refined I am. I'm not going to place a judgment, neither any of us, upon anyone that has a glass, but the Lord is speaking of a woe here that we need to wake up to and realize what is going on. This is humanism. This is what both the Pharisee and the publican had become. They're looking to themselves. Looking to themselves. And it says here, woe unto them that draw, or woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what's happening today? All around us? Are we being drawn into that? That which is bitter, we're calling sweet. That which is sweet, we're calling bitter. What is that? What is sweet? There's only one thing that is sweet, and that is the law of God. And we're going to take the law of God and call it bitter. Why? Because we're ashamed of it, and we won't do it. So we're going to call it bitter. That which brings life. That which is darkness, we're going to call light. Sin will be called light. Darkness will be made to be light. It's okay. Be yourself. Be yourself. Find out who you are. You know what you're going to find out? Darkness. Sin. What did the publican come to the realization? I am a sinner. I am a sinner. That's it. That's all there is in me. That which is bitter is that which is dark. And we're going to make that into light and make it into sweet. Something that is going to appear as if it's not so bad. The old days aren't. We live in an age of enlightenment. It's different now. And today, even humanism has taken what everyone used to look for in philosophy, in Greek philosophy. What they were looking for there, they've even brushed that aside now, where man, the best that he could come up with in, amongst himself, this is before Christ. Before Christ, the Greek philosophers were able to come up with the fact that don't do to someone what you don't want them to do to you. We'd look at that and say, now that's knowledge. That's so enlightening. It's Christ who said, that which you desire for yourself, do for others. He turned it. Only Christ could come up with that. Man's intellect couldn't come up with that. Those aren't the ways of God. Don't do to someone else what you don't want them to do. That's not the way of God. It's a moral thing, right? It's good. He's a good man. Look, he never did anything bad to anyone. He's a good man. The publican comes and says, I'm a sinner. But here it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And then he goes on again and he says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wise in their own eyes. The Pharisee was very wise in his own eyes. He had been raised in a manner in which he was going to exalt himself. And he did that. And the Lord simply looks and he tells us that the Pharisee comes and it's really something that we could quickly pass over, but it says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's interesting how he says, the Lord says he prayed with himself. But he's addressing God. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this guy here, this publican. I'm not like that. Look how much we see I thank thee, I am not, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. It's all about I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all. The law didn't require that. Law required it of what? Oil, wine, cattle, few things. He says, I give tithes of everything. I'm good. Way above what the law is requiring. I do these things. And God, I thank thee that I'm not a bad man. The Lord said he prayed within himself. You know, we could easily have looked upon this publican as he drew nigh to the temple and look at him as the same way, a man who is hated, and say, what's he doing here? I'm not like him. You know, when we see evil take place in the world, we can maybe smugly even say, well, I'm not like that. I'm a Christian. You know, we say that we are Christians. We are under the banner of Christ. You know, I read when North Korea and South Korea were going to have a summit. When was it? In the last year or so. They flew under, they were together under a blue and white flag. They were under this banner together. And yet the writer of the article that I read said, and yet there was nothing in common in their beliefs one with another. But they were under one banner, a blue and white flag. And we think about, we are under the banner of Christ. This Pharisee was under the banner. I thank thee, God, that I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this man here, this publican. Are we under the banner of Christ, calling upon his name, but are our values extreme opposite, just like North and South Korea were? As this observer had noted, they're together and yet worlds apart in what they were seeking or what they had believed in or whatever it is that they were coming together for. If we regard iniquity in our heart, David says, he says, God will not hear our prayers. What does that mean to us, dear ones? This Pharisee's prayer was not heard, and he gave tithes of everything that he had. What was his sin? He didn't commit adultery. He wasn't unjust. He says he wasn't. He wasn't extortionate. He wasn't a publican. What was his sin? He regarded sin in his heart. He justified sin in his heart. Just like they were justifying the drinking. They were justifying it. They were justifying the capitalism. Because no one needs except me. I need. It's me. I do this, and I need, and it's about me. It's not enough what we have. I need more. Regarding sin in my heart, David says God will not hear that prayer. And we have the Lord who actually gives a very, very clear picture of that. More, or as we find here, but even in another manner, which I believe every one of us to some extent has experienced in some way or another. He says, if you go to pray, and you remember that your brother has something against you, stop. Why? I'm not going to hear your prayer. Because you are justifying what that brother has against you. You're justifying it. For whatever reason, you are justifying it. I will not hear your prayer, God says. The Lord says, stop. Go back and make peace. But do we regard the iniquity, justify it, and go pray? That could be also, if I know that I have done something, I know I have, but I'm going to justify why I reacted and did and so on. Why I did these things. What did this publican do? He couldn't even look up into the heavens as this Pharisee was. So everybody could see him and so on. He couldn't even approach standing afar off. He smote upon his breast. You know, oftentimes we even like grab ourselves by our head. Oh, what was I thinking? And so on. He knew where sin lied. It was in his heart. He knew where sin was. It's in his heart. And he smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you. Doesn't matter what any of you say. I'm telling you, Jesus says, that this man went to his house justified. What does that mean? He was forgiven. He was forgiven. He was justified. Rather than the other. Because certainly that man, before he even approached the temple, it didn't just hit him at that moment. I'm going to go to the temple. I'm just going to say this. He had already been broken. To bring himself to the temple, he had already been broken. And he had confessed his sins before his God. And now he simply comes and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Where is the hope in this? Right there. Right there. God, be merciful to me. How? How do we come to this now? Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of my Savior, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Don't justify. Don't excuse. Don't say I'm not as bad. Dear ones, every one of us here can utter this prayer. Be merciful to me. He says, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Just like that rich man that we touched upon, who he had exalted himself. Eat, drink, and be merry. But you know, that requirement of him is coming for the entire universe. God will require our soul. We read it in Revelation. That is coming for all. That is coming for all. He that humbleth himself recognizes his own poverty. That's the Sermon on the Mount, what the Lord brings out. The first utterances, we can read them, are exactly that, where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This was a display of a man who was poor in spirit. God, be merciful to me. There's no good in me. There's nothing that I can do for you. There's nothing that I can do to merit my salvation. But be merciful to me. What did the Lord do? He forgave him. He cast his sin into the depths where it would never, ever be mentioned again. That's our hope. Our Lord is saying, come unto me. This man was lost in his quench for riches, power. With wealth comes power, great power. You have power to do whatever you want. Until the Lord looks down and says, woe unto you. You can pursue. It may not. You may say, I don't have these desires to be wealthy. You may have other desires. You may have a totally lustful heart, and you justify it. That's how the Lord created me. That's who I am. How I am. I can't contain myself because I, like this Pharisee, I do this, I do that. It's all about I. It's all about me. And nothing about Christ. Christ gives the victory in everything. Whether it's our pursuits of capitalism, desires to be, to have. Whether it's our pursuits of lust. Whether it's our pursuits of strong drink or drugs. Whether it's, it doesn't matter. Are we going to say that Christ does not have the power to heal me? What I am going through, you don't understand. You don't understand. So don't sit there and preach to me because you don't understand. No, I don't. Maybe I don't. And you don't understand what I go through. And we don't understand what he goes through. And so on. But Christ knows. The Lord knows. And when you come to him poor in spirit, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hope is alive. It's alive. There's hope. And so, dear ones, as we have read these few short verses, we need to ask ourselves, how do we approach the Lord? Justifying ourselves or casting ourselves before him with our need? The need to be forgiven, because the sin will be our judge. The sin will judge us. Whatever I have regarded or justified in my heart, that will judge me. We can weave a beautiful a tale of how and why and this, and Satan did that with Adam and Eve. And when she looked upon the tree and saw that it was going to be good and God is holding something good away from her, she took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You will become as God. You will become as gods. That sounded good. You're going to feel good in this pursuit. When you have this, or when you do this, or when you experience this, you're gonna be as gods. It's gonna be good for you. You're gonna feel good. Live for the moment. And Paul says, I've given everything up. I've given everything up. Where did power come from? He looked upon Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He looked upon him. Dear ones, we have the eyes of faith that we can see him. He's all through the scripture. He's all through the scripture. We look upon him. Are his ways beautiful to us? Are his ways so beautiful that it brings about within us a desire to be with him? Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 10 years from now, or 30 years from now, we don't know. God will require from us. The question is, what would be the justifier of everything that I am and have been and refuse to change? Because, Lord, you just made me too weak. You just made me too weak. You inflame these desires in me and I can't overcome them because I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die to myself. My God is my belly. I want to live for myself. The Pharisee was very comfortable living for himself as he proclaimed himself to be a very religious man. Live for himself. Dear ones, we are under the banner of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the meekest of men, a servant, a king, the creator of this universe that man marvels at. And that Jesus says it glorifies him because man looks in amazement at everything. How? How can this bee do this? How can this do this? How? It's created. And it's doing what it does, it glorifies its creator. And it brings man to the realization. Today it's all about science, humanism. Today man looks at science and what he can prove and disapprove, and that's where his belief is in. That's it. They even put away the philosophies of the ancient Greeks. They put away all that stuff. It's in them. I'm the one that will show you how to live. We don't need anyone to show us anything. We're born in sin. What we need is Jesus Christ to show us the way, and he has. Will we reject him, or will we embrace him? Dear ones, this is not a sermon of gloom and doom. It's a sermon of hope. There's hope. When we come to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, we will be justified. We will be justified. May God show us, dear ones, where we are sinners. Doesn't have to be in what we do. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It's all in the heart. That he would cleanse us with his precious blood and empower us, enlighten us. So we don't call that which is darkness light and call that which is light darkness. That we don't run from the light, but run to the light so that we may know him who has loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Amen.